new preacher in town. It's always good to hear from a new preacher. I thank God for this privilege of speaking to you or from the scripture this morning. I'm also grateful to the elders for entrusting me with this responsibility. One of the qualities of a good speaker is stop the message on time. So I just want to be a good preacher today. Maybe he'll stop a few minutes early. One time a preacher came to the podium and said, "Today I have to depend on the Holy Spirit." Then he added, "I forgot my notes." So I didn't forget my notes, but I still had to depend on the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time you granted to us to be in your presence. Open our hearts as we listen. May your message be heard clearly. In Jesus' name, I pray. Christians around the world celebrate Palm Sunday today. As our reference reading shall be turned to Mark chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. Mark 11, verse 1 to 10. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you. As soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt and tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus has commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We heard probably many messages from this passage before, so there won't be nothing new, but as the Lord leaves, I just want to share a few things. This event is also recorded in four Gospels, or all four Gospels recorded this event. So we know it carries a major historical and spiritual importance to this event. Now, as an introduction, let's see what Jesus did in this last week on earth after doing many miracles. Jesus came to Bethphage near Jerusalem and made a triumphal entry to Jerusalem. Bethphage means house of figs. We'll talk about the fig tree a little later. Bethany is also a near town. Bethany means house of suffering. And Bethlehem is also near. That means house of bread. This is the last Sunday before Jesus' crucifixion. Up to this time, children of Israel did not convince Jesus as the king. This is the first time Jesus being publicly recognized as the king. Triumphal entry is the fulfillment of God's plan for the cross. Bible scholars label this passage as the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus is preparing to face the last week on this earth. Jesus is getting ready to die in a few days, but this is the beginning of the fulfillment of this redemption plan. Where Jesus entered into Jerusalem has a profound meaning. It is not accidental. It fulfilled the prophecy and revealed the kind of king he is. Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, a colt. All four Gospels mentioned about the donkey ride. So we heard some donkey comments this morning. So I just want to continue a little bit more. Jesus sent out two disciples to get a donkey from a near village. But we don't know who these two disciples are. One thing we know, they listened to God, listened to Jesus. They went to get the donkey from the near village. Verse 2 and 3. Jesus gave instruction to the disciples how to get the donkey for him. Jesus have foreknowledge about this donkey, where to find, what to ask. If they questioned what to tell, Jesus knew everything beforehand. I call it as Jesus GPS. Jesus know where this donkey is, where to find, how to get it. And Jesus didn't tell these disciples which village to go, which street you find the donkey. But the disciples went and get it. That's the Jesus GPS. We all should have that GPS. I was thinking, if this happened today, how would it turn out? Say, I was supposed to stand at the corner of King Street and Woodland Avenue. Two strangers come and ask me, can I have your Acura MDX 2027 super handling all-wheel drive hybrid? Can I have it for Jesus' use? But I'm not promoting the MDX. What we would say? What we will say? Or what I'm going to say? I will run back to the chapel and call 911. But they gave their donkey to Jesus to ride on. Jesus had foreknowledge of everything, God is an omniscient God. So now, come to the donkey part. Why donkey? Few comments about the donkey. Bob already gave some introduction. Donkeys are considered differently in different traditions, and especially in the modern culture. They are generally considered ignorant and dumb animals. They are stubborn, refuse to listen, hardworking, and bear many burdens. When I was thinking about this donkey, I thought about myself. I was like a donkey, bearing a lot of burdens, working hard, refuse to listen. But now I am a retired donkey. And taking the life easy. But God can use any donkeys for his purpose. Has anyone ridden a donkey yet? Maybe Tyler. I'm sure some of you have had donkey ride. is smoother than the horse, I'm thinking. Has anyone called you a donkey? I didn't want to call anybody donkey, but the Baba said, "Sir, we all are donkeys." But nobody called me a donkey, but I was called by some other names. But I'm not going to tell you that. Donkeys are poor animals used for transportation, farming, and other heavy-duty work. So question again, why a donkey? There should be a reason why Jesus chose to ride on a donkey. In ancient times, donkeys were used for noble purposes. Kings rode on a donkey on special occasions. 2 Samuel 16:2. Donkeys are for king's household to ride on. 1 Kings 1:33. King Solomon rode on a donkey at the time of coronation. I don't want to read all these verses. Riding on a donkey is the fulfillment of a prophecy. That's important. Let's read that. Zechariah 9:9. Book before Malachi. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The king is coming to you, lowly and riding on a donkey. Job was reading this morning from John, I think chapter 11, lowly, riding, Jesus coming lowly and low. And Joe was mentioning that this morning. Riding, this prophecy was made about 500 years before Christ. Riding on a donkey is a symbol of peace, a public declaration of the promised Messiah. Jesus showed that his kingdom is not for war, but for peace, service, and humility, and otherwise he would come on a horse. Jesus could have come on an Air Force One, or he could have come on Air Horse One. But Jesus chose the donkey. Donkeys are symbolized for peace and service. This donkey was never ridden, which means it was reserved for Jesus' sacred use. Verses 2. Few observations from what we have learned, we have talked about. Children of Israel did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the spiritual Savior and the King. But we did recognize Jesus as our Savior and King. What a blessing. Jesus has foreknowledge of every detail. God is an omniscient God. Jesus knew where the donkey is, who is the owner, how to get it, what they ask, what to answer. Jesus knows all of us, all our thoughts and feelings. This is the truth which we should remember and keep in mind. Jesus came to this world not for war, but for peace. His kingdom is not for war, but for peace. So now we have peace with God. This is a personal application. In my own life, sometimes I feel like I'm a donkey. Sitting there, looking cool, tied up, But today, here I am standing in front of you, speaking from the Word of God. What a blessing. Jesus needs me and all of you for His purposes. You can call me a donkey after the meeting. So what happened next? All on a sudden, a large crowd spread their clothes on the road, and some waved palm branches and sang Hosanna to the King of Israel. Verse 8 and 9. Spreading clothes means giving the highest honor, recognition of a king, and the highest respect. In those times, people may not have a lot of clothes, a lot of jackets, I mean. They may have only one, but they are willing to throw that out for Jesus onto the street. John 12:13 is the only place palm branches is being mentioned. All the other gospels mention just branches. But we call this as Palm Sunday. Should be Branch Sunday or something like that. But this is Palm Sunday. Palm branches are symbols of victory, kingship, and hope. Palm branches are symbol of spiritual victory in heaven also. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. Revelation 7 verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, all of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Palm branches in their hands. A great multitude stands before God, holding branches, celebrating the victory through Jesus Christ. Hosanna means save now, verse 9 and 10. They were singing Hosanna. That means save now. They are looking for a savior. Here, people publicly shouting Hosanna and recognizing Jesus as Son of David. Save now is a quote from Psalms 118, verses 25 to 26. Save now, I pray, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the only one time Jesus is called and recognized as King. Israelites were expecting a descendant of King David to free them from the Roman Empire and restore the kingdom of Israel. Israelites thought Jesus is the earthly king and they were longing for, but did not recognize that Jesus is their spiritual king who came to save his people from their sins. Perhaps maybe the same crowd welcomed Jesus shouting Hosanna. A few days later, they cried out for Jesus' crucifixion. So let me go to the next part, which is Mark 11:11. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around all the things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is another event happened right after the triumphal entry. Jesus looked around inside the temple. After looking around, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples. It happened right after the triumphal entry to Jerusalem on a Sunday. What was Jesus looking around? Anybody have any idea? Jesus was looking around in the temple. What he was looking around? Nice windows. decorations, speaker hanging from the ceiling. None of that. What was Jesus looking around? Jesus knew that the temple is the place of worship and not a marketplace. He is examining the spiritual condition of the temple. Temple refers to the hearts of the people. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? He observed first what was going on inside the temple and acted on the next day. So what is the spiritual lesson we can learn from this? Jesus cares about the true worship. Jesus wants to know each one of our hearts to see we are true worshippers. We can come to church for several reasons, but are we all true worshippers? Jesus sees us all. He knows our hearts. Maybe this is the time for me and you to examine our spiritual life. So let me go to the second event. Mark 11:12-14. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing afar from a big fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Jesus was hungry and looked at a fig tree to eat some fruits. Jesus saw a fig tree with full of leaves, but no fruits. He cursed the tree. May not one ever eat fruit of you again. It was not the season for the fig fruits. So therefore consider this is an action parable or an object lesson. So what we can learn from this fig tree? This fig tree is a metaphor of Israel and also represent us, warning against spiritual fruitlessness. The fig tree represents spiritual growth. God desires spiritual fruits. Let us all produce more spiritual fruits for the Lord. God says that no one wants to be like a cursed fig tree. So what's the spiritual lessons we can learn from this fig tree? This fig tree shows the spiritual condition of Israel as well as us. Tree heart full of leaves, looking good, green, plentiful. Appearance is good. But there is no fruits. The fig tree is a symbol of spiritual fruitlessness, no true worship, no true righteousness. In our life also, God desires fruits, spiritual fruits. We may only have leaves, but God wants to see fruits in our life. This is a personal perspective for me. I'm like a fig tree sitting there with only leaves, but no fruits. Feeling like I am present, but not contributing. But today, I can claim one fruit. I'm standing here speaking to you all. Jesus demands more fruits from us. The third event is verse 15-17, chapter 11. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus came back the next day. On the first day, he observed what's going on in the temple. The second day, he acted. He drove out the money changers and those who sell animals and animals for sacrifice. Jesus said, my house shall be called house of prayer for all nations. Jesus was quoting this from the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah 56:7. My house shall be called house of prayer for all nations. Also from Jeremiah 7:11. Has his house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? Jeremiah prophesied about the house of Israel. Application. Before Jesus corrects, he examines our hearts. True worship matters to God. If we don't clean up our mess, Jesus will clean it up. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Hebrews 10:31. So let me summarize everything I have talked about so far. Children of Israel did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus has foreknowledge of all things. Jesus came to this world not for war, but for peace. Jesus cared about our true worship. Jesus examined our hearts before he corrects. Fig tree shows our spiritual condition and growth. God looks beyond our appearance. He wants genuine faith, true worship, and spiritual fruit in our lives. True faith in Jesus saves lives. True faith in Jesus saves lives. Are you saved? If anyone doesn't know Jesus yet, now is the time to sing Hosanna, save me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for coming to this world humbly and gently to show us your way. As a reminder, help us to bear the spiritual fruits in our lives and follow you every day. Lord, guide and direct us so that we can lead a life pleasing to you and be true worshippers. Give us the wisdom to follow you faithfully. As we depart now, may your protection, love and care and blessings upon us until we meet again. Amen.